The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. This segment presented by 1-800-Flowers.com. DraftKings official flowers for Valentine's right here at the, well, what are we calling it? VSiN Super Week. We're also calling it the DraftKings Network Super Week specifically for this hour. And it is Gilly Kelly. Gil back in the house. Can I refer to myself in the third person again?
Yes, you can, man. How you doing?
Can we talk about this for 1 second?
Yeah.
I know people want detailed health updates?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you know that I've missed this show. This show's been on for seven years. From the get here at VSiN. I have missed, my dad passed away, I missed that. But for illness, I have missed shows literally twice in those 7 years. One was remember last year, I couldn't produce a sound out of my vocal cords for 2 days, so I couldn't come at that. That's your kryptonite. You can't do anything about that.
That is factual, yes. Yeah.
And then the other one was, I didn't miss for COVID. I did shows from home. I didn't miss for rupturing Achilles. I still came in. When I had the pulmonary embolism after the Achilles and almost bit it for real, then I missed shows.
Yeah.
So it's only two.
Probably
times.
Should have too. Yeah. Right.
So no voice and then pulmonary embolism.
Yeah.
So Monday, we do our show here Monday. I feel great. We do our show. All right. We do our little post show thing. And then about a half hour after the show, I'm going to the dry cleaners and I'm like, oh man, I got body chills. This is a little weird. Then nausea sets in and I'm like, am I about to vomit or something? What's going on here? Then a splitting headache. I'm like, oh my God, what is happening here? I try to eat something, can't force food. You cannot imagine having no, you cannot eat a bite of anything. I'm so, I go home. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get in the shower. I'm going to take it hot water as hot as I can take it. That'll get rid of the body chills. Nope. Sat in there for 10 minutes. Nothing. Put on a sweatshirt, get in bed. Kelly, for 20 hours from 11 a.m. Monday to 7 a.m. yesterday, I was in bed horizontal. And every time I would wake up and be like, there's no possible way I could sleep more, I would sleep more through it. And then 24 hours later, from not being able to function, almost perfectly fine.
I'm happy to have you back. You had me worried on Monday, man. You really did. That was, you said, you are a guy who never misses a show. And it was Monday, 3 o'clock. It was yo, Kelly, I don't think I'm coming in tomorrow. I was oh man, if I'm getting this early, this is not good.
My brother was go get a COVID test at CVS or Walgreens. I'm like, you think I can get up out of this bed and go? You're crazy. There's no chance I'm doing that. Yeah. You had this though on a Friday once, right?
Yeah, when you were texting me that it was October, November. I missed live bets Sunday, but it was same thing. It was Friday, went home after the show, and all I remember thinking was, man, I'm tired. It was 2 hours later, same thing. I'm in bed, with cold shakes going on.
Never had anything 24 hours like that. And out, as strong and as quick to go away. So we're here. Before we talk all things NFL and all things Super Bowl 58. We do have Will Hill coming up on the show to do so. Eric Eager will join us as well a little later on this hour to discuss all things Super Bowl 58. Can we just talk about Fieldgate for a second?
Let's do it.
Because, again, this falls under the category of we got 2 weeks to talk about a game. You want to uncover what's under every stone. And so the controversy of Las Vegas here for the last couple of days, and we've had horrible weather. Has been the difference in field conditions, in practice field conditions for both the Chiefs and the Niners. Now, this hasn't had any betting implications, but again, in the interest of sort of getting every angle into this, because some people do think this is a thing. Typically with Super Bowls, AFC and NFC champions practice at pre-designated locations. Michael Silver did a great job describing this in the San Francisco Chronicle. Take, for instance, when the Panthers played the Broncos in the Bay Area, Panthers were at San Jose State. Broncos practiced at Stanford. It's always a different field. You do the best you can with everything. Well, the Chiefs ended up with the Raiders practice facilities, which are gorgeous.
Oh, you mean that brand new, beautiful, spaceship they've built out south of town that's just got so much room, so many fields.
You got your indoor, you got your outdoor options.
I think you got multiple options, yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. Niners ended up at UNLV, and there was concern. They sent an advance party over there. They were concerned that Fields had a spongy feel to them. Spongy is the word they used. Apparently because no surface. This is a sod talk we're about to
hear. An advanced party.
That included well, it was equipment, the groundskeeping and training officials. Apparently, they sent all the equipment people.
We're scouting
first.
Out a good place on the moon to land or something like that. Send out an advanced party to scout it out.
The equipment's got to get there first, I guess. So they were concerned that Fields had a spongy feel, apparently because no surface, Kelly, was placed between the artificial turf and the newly laid sod. Now, this is new to me, but all NFL fields are measured with a GMAX score.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up.
Okay. GMAX score, which apparently quantifies the ability. This is the thing.
Had you ever heard about this before? Never. Me either.
GMAT, I've heard about. If you want to go to business school, GMAX, I have not. So that quantifies the ability of the playing surface to absorb the kinetic energy from a collision. The lower the score, the more energy the field absorbs, potentially creating an injury risk for the player in question. Okay, all that's, you know, garbled talk right there, but we'll put it in numerical terms. All current NFL fields have a GMAX score between 70 and 80. Upon first inspection last week, the UNLV fields received a score of 48, well below the 70 to 80 range. By the way, they did feverish improvements to get it into the low 50s, so still not up to snuff. Now, the Niners publicly, Kyle Shanahan says, oh, not worried at all. Improves each day, so hopefully it'll get better and better. But the real reason that Kyle Shanahan had to say that out loud is because a reporter leaked this, the Niners' disappointment with the field condition, and Roger Goodell got to do some press conference where he essentially put the Niners in a position where they, and this is from Niners reporters, where they had to appear like whiners. So here's what Goodell had to say. It's softer than what the Niners have practiced on, but that happens. It's well within all of our testing standards. Not true. It is something that we think all our experts, as well as neutral field inspectors, have all said unanimously that it's a playable field. The league, by the way, had 23 experts. 23 experts in the NFLPA visit UNLV's field and, quote, all of them think it's a very playable surface, that according to Goodell. Now, here's...
23.
This
is such a cloud show.
So here's the only other thing is, so the Niners basically on Thursday, when the practices get a little more serious, they're going to accept an earlier practice slot so as not to conflict with the Chiefs practice at the Raiders facility. They're going to go to the Raiders facility.
So they are doing that. Okay,
well,
good.
But here's the thing. Goodell, to make it a little more equitable, could have said to the Chiefs, could you move your practice at least so they could get a normal time? He didn't do that. So the Niners still had to dance around.
Oh, they have to work around the Chiefs' schedule?
They have to work around the Chiefs' schedule to use the Raiders' practice facility.
The facility is so big. Yeah, like you couldn't just go early day, late in the day with
two
teams?
Because Goodell outwardly said to Jed York, the Niners' owner and CEO, he said to him, you have to take it up with the Chiefs if you want them to change the schedule. And Jed York very correctly said, it's not the Chiefs' problem.
Right.
I'm not going to go to the Chiefs.
This is an NFL problem and where you decided to put us.
Even more frustrating for the Niners. Gets worse, right? Goodell said he cited two fields, right? He said the UNLV fields met the acceptable standards of two specific NFL fields he mentioned, MetLife, which Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas famously tore ACLs on.
Yeah, we never heard any problems about that field before.
On consecutive plays in the 2020 season. So the Niners were triggered by that. And the other one was Nissan Stadium in Nashville. Both Nissan and MetLife, Goodell failed to mention, underwent surface overhauls in an effort to reduce injuries. So anyway, he's being completely disingenuous. So the Niners were placed in this position where it's like, okay, now we're going to complain. But you already did this. Now if we complain publicly, we look like whiners and stuff. But they have a legit thing. One last thing about this. Mike Barrows of The Athletic wrote, the Niners were so unhappy that they initially considered flying back from Vegas following Monday night's media event and practicing back in Santa Clara before the game, but have since backed off that plan. And once again, Shanahan publicly, not worried at all.
That's awesome.
So that's the story with Fieldgate.
And I would love to know even more behind the scenes conversations there, because I'm sure obviously the teams have a ton of media obligations, different things that they have to do all week while they're out here. But man, if you're like, yeah, I can't practice on the field you gave us, like that is, and I can take a very, very short plane trip back to where we normally practice at.
You imagine if they had done that? That would not have been a good look.
Would not have been a good look.
Now, what's the takeaway from that? Michael Silver's in the San Francisco Chronicle, and again, this is a local paper. Obviously, not low. You know, it's a very prominent paper, but it's still the local rag, if you will, in the Bay, the biggest one of them all. And his conclusion was, and he wrote this, is like, did they make it? I'll use his exact words. There, he said, there's no debating that Goodell made the 49ers' quest for a sixth Lombardi trophy just a tiny bit harder than it had to be. That's his exact sentence. You buy that?
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit harder.
Sure.
I think that's fair.
Sure. If it's not apples to apples with what the other team is dealing with, then sure, yeah.
Well, now, didn't affect the line. Niners still remain 2-point favorites over the Chiefs. Total locked in and will not move. 47.5 on this game. Did you add any bets? I added one that you suggested on Monday, right after the show, before I got sick.
A couple prop bets. I don't know, since we last talked, this is where I'm at. I don't know about you, but it's it takes a while to shop around here in town on the apps, right? So like, I still have a couple written down, I think, from Monday that I'm going to bet. Still haven't bet yet, though, because I haven't had the time to go through all the different apps and shop.
You saw me make it, though, because you told me it was right behind us. I did it before I left.
I know which one that is, then.
Kyle Juszczyk can't get one yard, right?
No, he can get 1 yard. He can get 1 yard.
At plus 270? Just give it to him once. And then don't lose 2 yards after that if you give it to him a second time. We'll come back. More on the NFL, including jersey number props. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at Parcalada, the Barrage, here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. This segment brought to you by Bayer Aspirin, the official sponsor of Fans Hearts. It is DraftKings Network Super Week. We are always thrilled to have this gentleman on the show with us, doing the Megapod with me after the show today. It's our last Megapod of the year today. Todd Wishnev, of course, joining us. Rufus Peabody, the guest. And, of course, this man, Will Hill, at not the Will Hill, and the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. How you doing, Will?
Gilly, what's going on? Hard to believe it's the last one. Season really does fly by. I know Fez was on with you earlier, and he's like, man, last week, he's like, man, the season just drags on, and you end up tired and beaten down by the end of it. But doesn't seem like that long ago when the season started. But you know, with the extra week, with the week 18 now, once the Super Bowl ends, you're right around Valentine's Day and you look up and it's only a couple of weeks till March. So that gap between the Super Bowl and March Madness is shortened, which is always a good thing because that is a lull. So that's the one good thing, or that's one of the good things about the longer season here with the NFL.
That is true. That is the silver lining. Those things become that much closer every year. Conference tournaments and the end of the
Your 3-week vacation after the Super Bowl, right? And then you come back and it's like the Sweet 16. And then you're like, what happened? Yeah.
Listen, I don't know about three, Will, but your point is taken. We understand. Okay. Last night I was so starved for football. And I'm clicking around the channels. NFL Network is showing the Niners-Chiefs Super Bowl from 4 years ago. It was so interesting. Obviously, many of the players are different. But some are the same, right? The things that leapt off the page, or left off the screen, how average Jimmy Garoppolo was, like how many bad throws he made, especially under pressure, and like how much better Purdy is than him. And Chris Jones felt like he batted down a million passes of Garoppolo's, and no one ever talks about that. I don't know if there's anything to read from a game 4 years ago, but that was certainly something I gleaned from it.
Yeah, and wasn't there one, like the 49ers were down 10. Up 10 with the ball in the fourth quarter.
That's
and I
correct.
Think there was a deflection where Kittle was open and they just had it. And yeah, it's one of those plays where, like you said, it gets lost. But man, up 10 with the ball, that's in the fourth quarter. That's a pretty significant lead to lose. And yeah, Mahomes was down 10 through an interception. You figure a few first downs, that game is over. And they just couldn't get it done. It was a really good game. the final score was misleading because Chiefs, that was the postseason where they trailed every single game by 10 plus points, but won every single postseason game by 10 plus points, which I don't think we'll ever see happen again. I mean, that was just very strange. They got the late touchdown with Williams, who obviously could have gotten the MVP, but didn't. But yeah, I don't know how much to read from that game, because like that game 2 years ago, it was the great Chiefs offense against the great 49ers defense. Now it's flipped. Now the Chiefs have the better defense. The 49ers have the better offense.
Yeah. Down 10 in the fourth quarter, Niners with the ball. You're right. And won the game by 11. That's right. With the Chiefs in that Super Bowl. Okay. So remind everybody, what did you bet side and total here? What props did you bet?
I had been undecided on the side. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I just think that you're getting obviously the better quarterback. You're getting the better defense. I mean, that's a lot right there. When you're getting the better quarterback and you're getting the better defense, I think you're getting the better coach. You're obviously getting the better kicker and you're getting a couple of points. So I'd been back and forth on it. I think this is obviously a fascinating game. Whoever you pick, if you lose, you're going to feel like an idiot, because if you pick the Chiefs and you lose like I did, you can say, oh man, the 49ers were the better team all year. We overreacted to recency bias, all that. But if you pick the 49ers and you lose, you say, well, man, what was I thinking going against Mahomes? The Chiefs have been the hotter team. The 49ers have played really poorly, not just in the playoffs, but you look from Christmas night on, that terrible performance where Purdy lost the MVP. I mean, they don't have a good performance in there. They have nothing but bad performance. I know they won a couple of these games, but it's September through December. The 49ers were 4 or 5 points better than the Chiefs, maybe even a tick more in the last month or so. The Chiefs have been the better team. So I'm going to go with the recent form. I'm going to take the quarterback, the defense, the points. It should be a good game. I think, you know, there's some props out there that I think correlate with it. If you shop around, you can find under 14.5 for largest lead of the game. 15 and 16 are sort of dead numbers. I don't see a scenario where somebody runs out and gets like a 17, 21 point lead. I think it'll be a close game throughout. I think it'll be a fourth quarter game. I also took the Chiefs plus a half point in the first quarter. You have to lay minus 155 at DraftKings, but it's just so hard to win a first quarter where, I mean, 49ers might only get one possession. Both these teams do defer, so we have no idea who's going to start with the ball.
Yep.
You can't get any little angles like that with the Lions taking the ball or the Packers taking the ball. Both these teams are going to defer. So, and you know, Mahomes has the experience in the Super Bowl, so there's not going to be any nerves with him. Maybe they are with Purdy. Maybe the Chiefs start with the ball. I could easily see a 3-3 first quarter, 7-7, or maybe you're up 3-0. So I think getting that half a point in the first quarter is super valuable.
Maybe you already answered that where you said, like, you know, you don't see a team going out to, you know, let's say a 17 point lead. What would be the most shocking outcome for you in any of this?
The 49ers not getting their points. I have a hard time sitting here Monday going, wow, the 49ers only scored 10 or 13 points. 49ers, I think, are going to get their points against anybody. I mean, I guess you could say Mahomes getting shut down too would be surprising, but you know, we've seen his receivers drop a bunch of balls. So I would say the 49ers getting shut down offensively would be the most surprising result. I don't know if that's, you know, more what you meant. I don't think either team gets blown out. Again, turnovers can be the great equalizer. If somebody's minus two or minus three in turnovers, I mean, a close game could turn into a blowout really quick. I just think the Chiefs have done enough. You know, we'll talk about this more in the Megapod. I think the Chiefs have done a good job of condensing their weapons, condensing their usage, where it's almost like a baseball team where you go into the playoffs and you don't use your fifth starter anymore. You might not use your fourth starter. You use your closer, a couple of relievers. You cut the fat of your team. The Chiefs, they trust Rashee Rice. They trust Kelce. They trust Pacheco. And then Mahomes can take off and run once in a while. They've really cut out the Justin Ross, the Justin Watsons of the world, the McCole Hardmans, the Tonys. They've really cut it down to the three or four guys they trust. They go in with their three or four best pitchers, and I think that's worked out for them, you know, well here. And they've also played a couple of defenses that were banged up, the Bills and the Dolphins, and they didn't do much in the second half against the Ravens. So, man, you can look at this game a million different ways. I keep going back to this, though, where the AFC might just be better than the NFC. We thought that coming into the season. Then a couple of these guys got hurt in terms of the quarterbacks in the AFC. Rodgers and Herbert was bad. And there was just, you know, some weird situations in the AFC. It's just possible when you look at the matchups, like the Ravens burying the 49ers, burying the Lions and the Seahawks, 49ers struggling against the AFC, the Cowboys getting buried by the Bills, losing to the Dolphins. Maybe the AFC is just a good, you know, 3 or 4 points better than the NFC. It's possible.
That still remains in all of these in the 10 days that now we've gone between Championship Sunday and today leading up to the Super Bowl. That remains the most interesting point to me because it's the one that's the most obvious and easiest in some respects. And I don't think we're making enough about it. That maybe in all this, you talk about you're going to feel stupid. if the Chiefs do win, that's going to be part of the feeling of stupidity, right? Where you'd be like, of course, they beat all these great teams on the one hand, and the Niners really didn't. Like, that'll be the obvious go-to, I think, on that. In our
remaining, we don't talk about these conferences in terms of, like, against each other. I remember growing up as a kid, like, in the 90s, it was a big thing. The AFC went a good, you probably remember, I don't know, 15 years without, like, the NFC was dominant in the Super Bowl. And that was a big narrative. That was a big angle where, hey, could the AFC catch up to the NFC? For years in the NBA, the West was much better than the East. We don't talk. I haven't heard a lot about it, but it is in the back of my head. Maybe the AFC is just a lot better.
Yeah, that was a different time when the Skins and the Giants and the Niners were much bigger than all those other teams. Here, what you think of? And then Joe Gibson. No, let me stop. Okay, a couple of basketball things real quick before we go. NBA, no favorite ever loses anymore. Is this a thing?
Hell, you would know better than me. I don't know. Is it the fact that we're near the All-Star break and we get, I don't know. I would say if you got a bunch of upsets, it would be, hey, we're near the All-Star break and you see some weird efforts. I don't know. Maybe it's just small sample size. I know Steve Fezzik, who comes on the show a lot, I just referenced, always says parlay all the money line favorites in the NBA. That's a big thing for him, is just throw a bunch of, no, I'm just kidding. I don't know what to make. I honestly don't know what to make of
it. Yeah, and I think it was just a bit of a small sample size oddity over a couple day span. But you
was
know,
it 19 in a row favorites have won straight up, something like that?
Something like that. I believe Will's right. It's just, you always got to tread carefully as you do get close to the All-Star break. Some weirder things begin to happen with some teams, but I agree with him. I think I would read into it more with that if it was a lot of dogs winning. I think so. I read it more as favorites just taking care of business a lot of the time.
Give us a college.
Some of these teams.
Oh, go ahead.
Like
go
Memphis, ahead. Like the Grizzlies are missing 13 players, which I didn't even know you could have 13. Like, you're not going to win a game. Like, I know Knicks were like minus 1,000 on the money line. It's not brilliant to give out a minus 1,000 on the money line. And the Memphis, typical NBA fashion, they were down 28. They cut it to 4. Memphis was never going to win that game. They don't have an NBA team, and they're going to play the Knicks. So, I mean, that there's something to that, too.
Yeah, totally. There's things like that happening right now. I mean, I think it's been 4 games in a row where I've gone against them one way or another, right? Whether it's betting the other team, betting team totals under, over. Like, there are certain situations like that in the NBA that are just a nightmare right now.
Give us a college basketball play before you go, Will.
I'll go Cal minus 2.5 against USC. I like Madsen as a coach. I think this team's getting better. They played better at home here. So give me Cal minus the 2.5 against USC.
All right, we'll give it to you. You ask, you'll get it. You'll get it right.
Appreciate it.
Will,
been installed as a 2.5 point favorite.
You can't bet it unless it's installed, Will. You know how that goes. I'll talk to you in about 80 minutes for the Megapod. Appreciate it.
All right. Sounds good. Should have bet more podcast.
Should have bet more podcast. He didn't think I was going to plug it, but I was. That is Will's podcast. Jeff Parlay, his latest. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at the D, Bar Canada, here in downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. This segment presented by 1-800-Flowers.com. DraftKings official flowers for Valentine's here on DraftKings Network Super Week. And ladies and gentlemen, it's always a pleasure to have this person on as well. He's a bona fide doctor. We call him Mr. Doctor, just because we like him so much. It's Dr. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports joining us right now for his take on Super Bowl 58, all things Superb Owl. That's how we get around the copyright stuff. How you doing, Eric? What's happening?
Gil, I'm doing great. Vegas has been, well, we found out what God would do if they ever held a Super Bowl in Vegas, because it's done nothing but rain since I've been here.
Sorry about that. Supposed to clear up today or tomorrow.
No, this has been great. Your city has done phenomenal work.
Where are you staying? You don't have to give like an exact location, but where exactly are you generally?
I'm checking out in a little bit, so I'm not worried. But like, as you can see from the angle here, the media hotel is at the Luxor, which is, you know, that shows what they think of us. That's where we're at.
It's like the Batman, the Adam West Batman, where everything was on a slant.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Our director Matt just brought it up. I'm like, why am I? I'm like almost getting like nauseous looking at Eric. Everything looks slanted in the background. Oh yeah, because it is.
at the Luxor, by the way, how I stumbled through that exactly, generally where you are. All right, Eric, give us your, first of all, let's start macro. Your thoughts on the side in total here, landing on this game.
Well, I think this is a great game for, like, looking at the price difference, right? Like, so you're, you know, depending upon where the book, you can get anywhere from Chiefs, as you see it, kind of this looks like the nadir at plus 102 as far as price. And you can find it other places at plus 110, plus 115. You know, obviously be price sensitive there. It totals at 47.5. You know, everybody says on Super Bowl week, you know, wait until post to bet under. I think this is an under game. However, there has been, you know, steady resistance to over money here because it stayed there basically the entire time after an initial bump early in the week. So this is an interesting one where I think under is more of a play than either side for me, just from a sheer value perspective. And that, you know, there's more volume on side. So that makes sense.
Give us your feeling as to why this is an under.
Well, the Chiefs are a great defense, obviously second in points allowed. I think that's not enough to paint an under picture, because you have to talk about the composition of how that happens. A lot of times teams are really good at giving up, you know, for forcing three and outs, but then there's high variance because when they're not as good as the other team, they give up a ton of big plays. That's not been the Chiefs' MO at all. They have not given up, you know, any big games to number one wide receivers. They're middle of the pack in Gil with drive success, which is basically how good a team is at taking one first down and getting another out of it. They're middle of the pack there, adjusted for, you know, basically opponents and things like that, while being the second best defense in terms of points allowed. That means that they're giving up yardage, but enticing teams to kind of do it in an inefficient way and you know, burning clock. And they're going to play 8 or 9 possession games for either side. And that's why, you know, you've seen them, you know, basically play to the under 14 out of, I believe, 20 games this year. It's literally the way that they play. And I think that when you look at the 49ers, how scary they can be offensively, that's why you see this tick up from the 44.5 it was in the Ravens game. But I think it's a similar game script where the Chiefs could get ahead and force this game to be incredibly slow. And people who have over 47.5 are going to be tilting.
I have a couple greatest hits with this game that I said, but one of them was, and I'm curious if you agree with this, which is in every sporting event, it is important, you know, or it's a good thing to get a leg up and score first. I typically say it before game sevens of hockey series, where it's like, okay, whoever gets up 1-0, like, it's a massive advantage in that game seven. Obviously, that matters in every football game. Do you feel like it matters just a little more here? That either team falling behind ain't good. Like, you just, I don't know if the Niners, given what we've seen the last 2 weeks in the postseason, how they just absolutely pulled out miracles against both the Packers and the Lions. Maybe I'm loose with the word miracle, but you get the idea. They were improbable wins. And then even in the case of the Chiefs, like, as great as Patrick Mahomes is, you don't want to go matching the Niners or trying to outmatch them at that point. Do you believe that it's a little more important in this particular matchup?
Oh, 100%. And my former colleague at PFF, Timo Risky, tweeted out, I believe, earlier today, Mahomes has been 10 times less efficient in terms of EPA per play this year when trailing than last year. This is the first year in his career where he's been less efficient when trailing than when ahead. And, you know, we think about back, you know, how they won their first Super Bowl in 19. They trailed by 10 or more points all three games, Houston, Tennessee, and then San Fran.
Yeah.
And then in the, you know, the second Super Bowl year, they trailed Buffalo by 9 in the AFC Championship, and then it was too much to overcome. I think you have those vibes of the Niners here, right? Where you get behind a Packers team with a good offense, kind of a middling defense, similar ideas with Detroit, and then you think you can kind of play that way in this game, and eventually the bill comes due. I think that's a perfectly well stated thing. So I don't think the Chiefs are built to come from behind anymore. I think they're built to play from ahead, and I think the 49ers are still built to play from ahead. And the two defenses they got in the NFC playoffs were only, you know, more, infinitely more conducive to giving up a comeback than the Chiefs are.
Yeah, and you don't think of these teams that way, but I really feel that about this. I was just thinking, I was just asking Will Hill earlier, like, what's some of the more improbable things you can imagine? I keep landing on, in my head, Kyle Shanahan getting through an entire football game without one decision that makes you think that probably wasn't the right thing. Does that resonate with you as well?
I mean, it does. I mean, I'm a football historian at heart, but like I can off the top of my head, right? Chiefs Super Bowl, you know, he kind of turtled after the George Kittle pass interference penalty at the end of the half. It, you know, that was negative EV in the Jaquiski Tart dropped interception game. Remember they punted on fourth and one, down three and never saw the ball again. They oftentimes, you know, Shanahan's a 10 out of 10 when it comes to play calling, but it seems like in the NFL, like that always comes at the price of being able to manage a game or manage a clock. And, you know, this is the one game where Kyle Shanahan's kind of in the Andy Reid position where everybody knows he's a great coach, but until he can kind of make the big game decisions in the big times, everybody's going to kind of think of him as a step below. And Andy was in that spot 4 or 5 years ago, and Kyle's got to overcome that here.
You bet any props, Eric?
I like first team to pass the ball at +125 on both sides. I think like that's one again where the season long numbers are being baked in, I think, a little bit more than the kind of half season numbers or rolling average numbers. I like those. Mahomes under interceptions again, to me, I know that's trended it positively, but I still think that one's a little bit mispriced. Those are the two I like, including I do like under. I do think under is the right side. There's obviously more respect for that, though, because of the market size at this point in the Super Bowl.
All right. Kelly and I both have one, and we are flabbergasted by the number on this. Kyle Juszczyk, who, by the way, did not get a carry in the previous Super Bowl against the Chiefs, but did catch 3 for 39 for those who care about Super Bowl history. Kyle Juszczyk to gain rushing over a half yard is +270. You got to make that bet, right?
I do think in this game, there's going to be some sort of like, and you could correlate that too. So there's that fun bet every year of like shortest touchdown, you know, over 1.5. It opened like, kind of think one +150 has been bet down near even money at some point. Like if you correlated those two or sort of like use those two as a hedge against each other, to me, that would be a solid move. Right. Cause I do think if they get to the 1 yard line, Juszczyk, who may or may not be on the team next year, may or may not be, in the NFL that much longer, given the position he plays, they might just give him one of those trap plays and see if he can score a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm sure he could use that Harvard education for other things as well. I'm sure. Just based on what you said then, Eric, though, does a Kansas City under tease not interest you?
Teasing totals is never plus EV. That's my advice from a trying to be sharp perspective. But look, it's the last game of the season. If you like those two and you want them and you want an extra sweat, like that's not the worst bet you can make. I'll say that.
Didn't stop Kelly Bidlin from making it. That's for sure.
That's right.
Didn't stop him. All right. And then give us your final say then here on how you feel this goes. Give us your bottom line on this.
I do think the Chiefs win an ugly game. I just think that it's just so hard to they win so many different ways, and now they found out a different way to win, and Patrick Mahomes has bought into this, and it just seems like they're on their best behavior, which has been crazy given how frustrating they've been all season as somebody actively roots for them.
Yeah, it's such an underrated point about Mahomes, though. He's bought into this for this stretch. Like, he recognizes what his team is now. Eric, enjoy the game. Hope to see you here, man.
Yeah, Gil, see you around.
Eric Eager, everybody. Dr. Eager from Sumer Sports. We'll come back. More Super Bowl 58 on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.